Good morning again, everyone, and a pleasant Sabbath to everyone. As Eric said earlier, yeah, it's cold on the outside, but it's warm on the inside, and we praise God for that. And I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is here, and there is another reason why it's warm on the inside. You know, today we are concluding our 10 days of prayer, and we started, or shall I say, our theme was, Come Holy Spirit. And we started on Wednesday the 10th, and Pastor brought a word regarding the Holy Spirit, and from night after night we had a focus word, a focus prayer. So on Wednesday the 10th, our focus was the Holy Spirit. And then on the 11th, it was our families, because our families are important to us. And evangelism is important to the church. And opportunities to witness, we all are seeking opportunities to witness. But just as important as our families and evangelism are our children. Whether they're small or whether they are adult, our children are important to us. And our local church and our conference and our world church all are important to us. And then we focus on the fact that we wanted a greater desire for the Word of God. We wanted increased faith. And then we talked about on Thursday being a better person. And we talked about how, you know, individuals have their New Year's resolution and they, you know, we've all heard those resolutions. We're going to stop eating sweets, or we're going to stop drinking pop, whatever the case may be. But somewhere along this time of the month, of the new year, whatever that resolution was, tends to wane and fall off. So we talked about being a better person. And then on last evening on the call, Pastor finished up with the Holy Spirit. And I struggle. And I thought about it after the fact, Sister Sharon. I struggle with the title of today's message. And so the title, I now have it. Sing praises to the Lord your God. Sing praises to the Lord your God. Now, if you was here last week, or if you looked at and studied the Sabbath school lesson last week, before we go and get into that, let's have a word of prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Now, last week, our Sabbath school lesson, we talked about, and the subject of last week's lesson was, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And one of the lessons that we learned, or we was reminded, was the fact that Christians have all wondered or experienced at some point in their lives whether or not God can be trusted in our time of trouble. And trouble can come in various forms. Trouble can be the loss of a job. Can I trust God if I lose my job? Or can I trust God in the loss of a loved one? Or can I trust God if my health is failing? Somewhere along life's journey, as Christians, we have wondered whether or not we can trust God. The lesson brought that out. And we're talking about singing praises to the Lord your God. And the Bible records a host of prayers in it. Psalms 51 records David's prayer and confession. This was a prayer and confession that he prayed unto God after the fact that he had sinned against God. You know the story where David was, when he should have been out on the battlefield, he was at his palace. He looked out. He saw Bathsheba. He sent for her. He was aware that she was married. He was made aware that she was married. Uriah was her husband. But at any rate, he said he sent for her. And you know the story. He sinned, and had a child with Bathsheba, and he prayed unto God, and he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. We're talking about prayer. In Luke chapter 1, which was what we talked about on last week, and it came to pass that as he was praying, talking about Jesus, he was praying in a certain place, and when he had ceased from praying, one of his disciples came unto him and said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples to pray. And he said unto them, when you pray, say our Father. And we know that our earthly fathers is in some cases like our heavenly fathers. Our earthly fathers, we can ask our earthly father for something and they will tell us yes or no. And God is no different. We can pray about things and we are told that there are three answers that we'll get from God. Yes, no, or wait, or maybe. Three answers that we will get from God. I want to draw our attention to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, because I believe that here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there's a nugget in here that you and I can reflect on. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it's a familiar story. The word came to Jehoshaphat that a great multitude was coming up against him and the children of Judah. And the Bible says that Jehoshaphat feared, and he had a right to be fearful, because again, the word said that there was a great multitude came up against him. And Jehoshaphat, because he feared, he decided to ask the Lord for help. And any time that you and I find ourselves fearful, any time that you and I can find ourselves concerned, we can also go to the Lord and ask of help. And so he asked of help, and he gathered the people together. Familiar story. He gathered the people together. They all came. He shared with them the situation, and Jehoshaphat prayed. And as he prayed, he began to lay out before God what God had already knew, that the people was coming up against him and the children of Judah. And he began to ask God a series of questions in verse number 7. He began to ask God a series of questions, and he says, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel? He began to ask God a series of questions. And in asking these questions, ultimately he came to the conclusion, verse number 12, O our God, wilt not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on thee. Whenever we're in trouble, it's good to keep your eyes on God. And all of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Because Jehoshaphat had called an assembly, he called for a fast, and they stood there. And as they stood there, after he had opened up his heart and poured out his heart before the Lord on behalf of Judah, they stood there waiting for a response from God. And in verse number 15, a response comes, and he said, the response came where the Spirit of the Lord moved upon Jehazel, and he was there, part of the assembly, minding his own business, but the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him, and he said, hearken ye all, Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. What is interesting is the very thing that Jehoshaphat said initially in his prayer, that he was fearful, is the very first thing that the word of the Lord says. Don't be fearful. Be not dismayed. Don't be afraid. of this great multitude that is against you, because the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. And then the most interesting thing, he says, now on tomorrow go down to the brook. That's interesting, because if that's where the enemy is, they only had a promise. But if that's where the interesting is, I can imagine some people saying, you want us to go to where the enemy is? But that's exactly what the word of the Lord said. Go down to the brook, and you shall not need to fight in this battle, but to set yourselves, stand still, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, Judah, the children, Jehoshaphat, they were to establish themselves. It's as if they had a front row seat to see how God would bless and how God would come through. The Bible says Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshiped the Lord. It's in verse 21 that I think we see an even more interesting thing, and that is that Jehoshaphat consulted with the people. He gathered the people together. They had prayed. He shared with the people the situation. He prayed unto God, and he consulted with the people. Not that there was a democracy, that they was going to vote on what was going to take place, what should they do. He wanted to share with them once again the seriousness and the veracity of the situation. And it says here, and here's the part, it says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, and they went out before the army. Normally, if you're going to battle, you're going to send your best troops first. You'll have some troops reserved, and then you will send some other troops. But here, they didn't send the troops before the army. They sent the praise team. They sent the praise team. It's right there, verse 21. And it says, and when he had consulted the people, in other words, when he had consulted the people, he wanted those singers to know the seriousness of it. This is not just any battle. He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Here we see where the armies came up against Jehoshaphat. He called a fast. He prayed. The word of the Lord came and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And as they waited now for the promise to be fulfilled, in verse 22 it says, and when they began to sing and praise the Lord, when the praise team, when those who was assigned to sing and to sing praises unto the Lord, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the word of the Lord said, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which came against Judah, and they were smitten. They didn't wait to sing before they were smitten. They sung based on the promise and based on the word of the Lord that was given in verse number 15, when it says, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. they begin to sing and to praise the Lord based on that word, not based on the evidence of the enemy being destroyed, not based on the evidence of the enemy being scattered abroad. They begin to sing and to praise the Lord based on what the prophet said. In the book Prophets and Kings, page 201, it says this, talking about the singers. These singers went before the army, lifting their voices in praise to God for the promise of victory. They hadn't received the victory yet, but for the promise of victory. It was a singular way of going to battle against the enemy's army. In other words, what's being said here is sometimes when you're fighting an army, you'll have some troops to go over here and we're going to cut them off from here and you're going to cut them off from there. And what she's saying is no, that's not what took place here. What took place here, the singers lifted up their voices in praise to God, and this was the only thing that they did. Did Judah prepare for battle? Yes, because the singers was in front of the army. She says, praising the Lord with singing and exalting the God of Israel. If more praising of God were engaged in now, hope and courage and faith would steadily increase. God was the strength of Judah in this crisis, and he is our strength today. His resources, we talked about this earlier this morning, his resources are limitless, and apparent impossibilities will make the victory all the greater. If the singers begin to sing and to praise God before they saw the answered prayer, and we've been praying all week about various subject matter, and in this story, if we see the singers praising God and lifting up the name of the Lord before the promise was fulfilled, then the question becomes, what should be our response as we conclude this 10 days of prayer? In Psalms 95, it says this, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." What should be our response as we conclude this 10 days of prayer? Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Psalms 98 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory." Psalms 100 puts it this way, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." What should be our response as we conclude this 10 days of prayer? Psalms 150 puts it this way, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmaments of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the tremble and dance. Praise him with the string instruments and organ. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him with the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." And we've prayed about some serious issues concerning our families and concerning our children, concerning our church, and there's no better time than the praise the Lord than now. Praise the Lord now, before the victory comes, before the answered prayer comes. We're going to praise the Lord now because God's word stands sure. If he says it, it's so, and it will come to pass. And so now, let's praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So before we sing our closing song, let's sing hymn number 518. Hymn number 518. We can sit for this one. Hymn number 518. We're standing on the promises of Christ our King through eternal ages. Let his praises ring, glory in the highest. We will shout and sing. We're doing what? We're standing on the promises of God. There may not be a physical army that is coming up against us, but surely there's a spiritual battle and a spiritual army that's against us. And so we leave this sanctuary thanking God and praising him for the promise that he's made. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I love you with an everlasting love. He said, better days are coming. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We praise God for the promise that he's already made us. Whether or not we see the fulfillment of that promise, his words are sure. For he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain the same. Father in heaven, we're standing on your word. The challenges and issues of life are real. And there are those times, Father, where it gets the best of us. But by your grace, we are standing on your word today. And we leave this place with a song in our hearts, thanking you and praising you for what you have already done in our lives and for what you will do. Father, I pray that you would bless your people and cause your face to shine upon us all and grant us your peace. Peace in our hearts, peace in our minds, peace in our homes, peace when we go out and when we come in, and when we rise to the dawn of a brand new day, grant us your peace, O Lord, we pray. For we ask in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.